Welcome back to Juno Afternoon. I'm Rhonda McBride. April is a big month for a number of organizations in Alaska, which has one of the highest rates of sexual assault in the nation. And that's why April is a time to shine a light on some of these issues. It is Sexual Assault Awareness Month, as well as Child Sexual Abuse Prevention Month. Traditionally, it's important during this time to get the word out about what can be done to reduce rates of abuse. And we're going to narrow down the focus in today's discussion to kind of look at what parents need to know, some of the signs and symptoms. And joining us today from the Juneau Police Department, we have Lieutenant Jeremy Weske, as well as Detective Kathy Underwood, who investigates many of these cases. And Detective Underwood, I'd like to start with you. You have been in the department for a number of years in different roles. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Back in 2002, I started off as a records clerk. From there, I got hired on as a community service officer, and I was in that role for about 10 years. And then I transitioned into a sworn position and became a police officer. And then most recently, I have transitioned to become a detective, and I've been doing this for the last about 4.5 years.
So working on cases involving child abuse must be very challenging.
Absolutely. It certainly can be.
So can you tell us a little bit about, maybe not the specific cases that you deal with, but some of the general things that you encounter, some of the things that parents may have missed as signs of abuse?
Well, it's very common when we get these reports that parents are usually the last person to find out about the abuse. A lot of times these children, they will either disclose to another friend who then tells a parent, or sometimes they'll disclose to another adult, like a school counselor. And then those school counselors, they make a report to us directly, and then also through OCS, and then we create a case, and then we do further investigation.
So, Lieutenant Weske, over the years, you know, when you hear about these cases, and just like Detective Underwood said, the parents are the last to know, what are the things that we need to know or should be looking for or on alert for?
You want to pay attention to any major change in behavior. Often kids will withdraw as they're trying to process trauma that they're going through. They may exhibit changes in behavior, outbursts of anger. Sometimes you can get things like bedwetting as a side effect. We know what our kids are like, and we know when something's not right with them. And so when that happens, you got to try and figure out what the cause is. Of course, it's not always something this terrible, but do be paying attention, because the trauma usually manifests itself in some way. And one of the best things that parents can do is have open, honest conversations with their kids about abuse, about stranger danger, as we put it, and even about their kids. Like Detective Underwood mentioned, that often a victim will report to a friend of theirs. So having conversations with your kids that if they ever do hear a friend talking about something like that, to take it very seriously, even if they just have an inclination, maybe they don't come outright and say it, but something doesn't feel right, empower your kids to talk to you about that, or talk to another adult to make sure that that doesn't slip by.
Detective Underwood, how young are some of your youngest cases?
Unfortunately, they're pretty young. They can be as young as 4 to 5 years old, and then on up from there.
And so how do you teach a child, you know, at that age to convey what they're experiencing to their parents, and how do parents sort of watch for the symptoms?
Yeah, absolutely. Just like what Lieutenant Weske had just touched upon, I mean, starting at an early age for parents to talk to their children about, you know, safe touches, about talking about their body, that always helps. So the kids are aware of what is a safe touch and what is not a safe touch. That is definitely helps. And then just having that open conversation and reassuring your child that, you know, whatever problems you may have, come to me, talk to me about it. You know, I'm not going to judge you. You're not going to get in trouble. Don't hold any secrets against me. You know, let me know, talk to me. So really opening that line of communication between you and your child, that's going to help.
And maybe even giving them the words to say, well, that was not a good touch.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we talk to kids about all kinds of things to sort of Mirandize them against life, the problems. You know, we talk to them about fire safety. We talk to them about crossing the street. But I don't think, have conversations about abuse.
Right. Unfortunately, I think it's kind of considered a taboo subject, unfortunately, and it's not talked about nearly as much. But that might be part of the problem is that there's not enough talk between, you know, the caregiver and the child about that type of thing.
So are you seeing intergenerational abuse in your cases?
Absolutely, I am, unfortunately.
And what are the dynamics that leads to that, do you think?
Well, from the cases I've seen, it seems like the abuse that occurs in the family and it happens, you know, to the children, and then the children grow up and then their children get abused, and an atmosphere of acceptance is created when that happens, because no one takes a step to report it, or if it does get reported, that child is not supported by the other family members. So then there's no incentive to move forward with a report or with, you know, with the investigation.
You know, when that happens intergenerationally, do you find that maybe parents who experience that probably think that it's no big deal, I got through it?
Yes. Yeah, sadly, yes, because they never got the support that they needed. So in their mind, they think, I survived this, so can my child, unfortunately.
So one of the things that enters the picture today that's so different is social media. And we actually have had cases in Alaska. There was a school principal at an elementary school in Bethel that trolled for children to abuse on Facebook, sent lewd messages, and fortunately police were brought in, investigators, and that was disclosed. But social media can be so anonymous, and for parents to kind of get a grip on that, I mean, are you seeing cases where social media was used to lure children into abuse?
Absolutely. I mean, social media is such a double-edged sword. I mean, when it used properly, it's a great tool, right? Because you're using that to communicate with people that maybe normally you don't communicate with because of distance and time. But that's also used inappropriately, where now the perpetrators have this access to all these types of victims. So yeah, and then kids these days, they have access to all these devices where they can get different types of social media applications. And then the parents, unfortunately, are not really aware what their child is doing. And that's how they get victimized, unfortunately.
You know, and I wonder if some people will say, oh, that happens to families that are dysfunctional. That doesn't happen to upstanding, quote unquote, families. But is that true?
No, absolutely not. There's, unfortunately, you know, sexual assault doesn't discriminate. It can happen to any family. It's just a matter of really being in touch with your child. I mean, in the teenagers, it does get difficult because a lot of teenagers have phones, they have tablets, they have computers. And when they have it in their room, the parent doesn't necessarily know what's going on. And I would really strongly encourage parents, keep on top of that, you know, check your child's phone every now and then, see what kind of applications they have, see who they're talking to. It doesn't hurt.
So, Lieutenant Weske, are you seeing social media a factor that we need to really, really keep an eye on going forward?
Yeah, 100%. It's like Detective Underwood said, it's a double-edged sword. I have children who are both teens. They communicate with their friends on social media. It's a great way for them to reach out and stay in touch, and they have a lot of fun on there. But it can also be a place where kids can be victimized. And Detective Underwood is right. You know, we need to normalize parents kind of getting in their kids' business when they're young. It's an uncomfortable feeling. I know that to be true for myself. It's uncomfortable to ask your kids to, hey, show me what you're doing, who you're talking to, what are you talking about? Because you want them to trust you, and they want to feel trusted. But the bottom line is that an uncomfortable conversation is far better to have than to just let it go and then somewhere down the road find out that someone was hurting them. So that'd be my advice. It's not easy, but do be on top of it. Be a little nosy as a parent, and just deal with an upset teenager. It's worth it.
Well, Lieutenant Weske, what I was also wondering is this social media that pedophiles may be using, or just people that decide that they're going to pursue this kind of crime, is it getting more sophisticated?
Yeah. I'm no expert in social media, but it is getting more sophisticated. You're getting a lot more programs that encrypt their conversations that will automatically erase conversations. You know, everyone's pretty familiar with Snapchat, but there are a lot of others that are going down that road where it's just used for, it's really used for a kind of secretive communication that you don't want to have hanging around on your phone. And that's usually breeds bad activities.
Well, we are just about out of time, but Detective Underwood, I just wondered if you had any thoughts on getting to this problem sooner, how much of a difference it makes, or if it goes unknown for a period of time.
Well, unfortunately, the way kids disclose, it's first of all, the disclosure rate is so low. Only a very small percentage of children actually disclose. And when they do, it's usually several years down the road. So it's very rare that we have an immediate or acute disclosure. It is after the fact, several years later, that the child, for whatever reason, has the courage to come forward and make that disclosure. So I think the best thing for parents to do is really open those lines of communication and really talk to their child and get them to be open with them, or at least find a safe adult where they feel that they can be open to. And I would tell parents to really read up. There's so much material online about child abuse awareness, about there's guides, there's tips out there. They just need to do a little web search and they can find all that helpful material online.
All righty. Well, I want to thank you so much, both of you, for joining us, Lieutenant Jeremy Weske and Detective Kathy Underwood with the Juneau Police Department, giving us some things to think about today. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.